Boker Tov, welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. We're now in Ketubot Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Bet at the fifth Mishnah in the tenth Perek. Mishnah Asui Arbana Shimumet. We dealt in two Mishnayot with someone who was married to two wives, mainly for the issue of Ketubot Banim Dichrin. Then we dealt with the issue of someone who was married to three wives. That was mainly for the issue of dividing up an estate that did not have enough funds to fund all of the ketubot. Now we have a different consideration. A man has four wives. Here, unlike the previous Mishnah, the ketubot are sequenced at different dates. The earlier wife has the first claim on the property. She collects her entire ketubah before the second, before the third, before the fourth. This is the part that gets interesting for us. A takes an oath to B, indicating that she did not collect any of her ketubah beforehand. B takes an oath to C to that effect. C takes an oath to D to that effect. Question is D. She collects without an oath. Leaves a big question there about collecting from the estate without an oath. We'll see that in the Gemara. Then Nana Somer, so Rabbi Shimon ben Nana says, why should she gain and be able to collect without taking an oath just because she's last? He disagrees with Chachamim and he says she also must take an oath if she is going to collect. Now, let's say that the shtarot were all dated the same day. If any of the shtarot were an hour earlier, in other words, if even though they're on the same day, but they're if an hour is written on them and the one that's earlier by the time of day, kod zachta has the earlier claim. In other words, we don't say that if they're all on one day, we disregard the hours, but the hours are also meaningful. Chachayu kotvim b'Yerushalayim shaot. Indeed, the custom in Yerushalayim was on all shtarot to write the hour of the day. Hayu kulan yotzot b'sha'achat. Let's say they were all at the same time, or there were no hours, it was all the same day. And there is less than the enough to pay off the debts, then chokot b'shaveh, this is the halacha we saw earlier, they divided equally. Now, the question really is, what's the machloka between Shimon ben Anas and Chachamim, where Shimon ben Anas says she has, the D has taken oath also, and Chachamim says she doesn't. Ma'akami palgi, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel explains the machloka as being as follows. Gonshinim say tachat mehan sadeh she'ina shelo. Let's say that it turns out that the field that B got for her ketubah turns out really didn't belong to the husband. And now A got her ketubah, C got her ketubah, D got her ketubah, B never got her ketubah, now it got taken away from her. And it follows along the lines of this machloket. They're disagreeing about the question about a later creditor who comes and collects before the earlier creditor does. Does he get to keep it? Which is what happened here when D collected property and B ultimately lost her property. So in effect, D collected before B did. Tanakama Sabar Mashagaval Logava. In any case, if the later Baal Chov collects, we take it away from him and give it to the earlier one. Or in this case, when the later Baal Chov collects and then the earlier Baal Chov loses her payment because it really didn't belong to the husband, the last woman loses her field and goes to B. And therefore, there's no need for her to take an oath. Bananas disagrees and says, if a later Baal Chov collects before the earlier Baal Chov, or to put it more to our case, if a later Baal Chov collects in such a way that the earlier Baal Chov does not get their payment, then the later Baal Chov gets to keep it. So really, D is just as liable as anybody else to be collecting in a way that other people are going to not collect, and therefore she has to take an oath to the effect that she does not have any greater claim on the property than what she collected. That's one way to look at it. Amar Nachman, Amar Rabba Bavua. Nachman takes a different tact. Everybody agrees that if a later Baal Chov comes and collects, then we take it away from him. So here it's a different consideration. It's not an anticipation of a problem, but it's a psychological anticipation, which is we're concerned that the woman will not properly take care of the field. And here's how it works. If we, the determinant says, if we allow this woman to take her field and not to take an oath on it, she's going to say, well, look, A had to take an oath, B had to take an oath, C had to take an oath, and I don't have to take an oath. They must regard me as not a real owner, and they're probably going to take it away from me at some point because I'm the last one in line, and therefore I'm not going to put any investment into the property, and the property is going to go bad. That's Shema Tachsif. Mar Sabar Chashin and Shema Tachsif, that is Rav Shimon Menana's consideration, therefore we enforce an oath to make her feel like her ownership of this property is serious. Mar Sabar Lo Chashin and Shema Tachsif, Tchachom say we're not concerned about such a thing. Now that's two ways to look at it. Abaye Amar, the Abaye Kshisha Yikbenai, they're disagreeing about what the older Abaye, a different man named Abaye, said. The Tani Abaye Kshisha Yitom Shamru Gdolin Vein Tzorech L'Marktanim. When the rabbi said back in the ninth parak that when you collect from the estate, you cannot collect without, and nobody can collect from heirs without taking an oath. Abaye Kshisha said that refers to heirs that are adults, and certainly if the heirs are minors, you cannot collect without a shvuah. Others, not Abaye Kshisha, maintain that it only refers to minors and not to adults. So we could say very simply that in our case, the heirs were adults. Tanakama says, you don't need to take an oath to collect from the estate, you need to get an oath from each of the other wives to say, I'm not infringing on your claim by taking more than my due. The last wife doesn't have anyone to take such an oath to, so she doesn't. But Nanas will say that these heirs who are adults, still you cannot collect from them without an oath, and since A took an oath that was to them, but also to B, and B took an oath that was to C and to them, and C took an oath to D and to them, D has taken an oath just to them. Now she doesn't have any wife to swear to, but the heirs. Tanakama, late lady Abaye Kshisha, but not necessarily late Abaye Kshisha. Very simple. Alright, those are the three ways to look at the machloket. Amar Rav Huna. Hani tre achi utre shutvi. If you have two brothers, two partners, dilu dina bahadi chad, and the two of them as a partnership have a litigation against one guy. And one of the partners goes, or the brothers, goes with this guy to court, and he loses. The other partner can't say to the litigant who won, he say, you know what, that was not my court case, and I'm going to go to court with you about the other half of the interest here, whether it's a claim or a defense. Rather, we have to say that the partner who went was doing the shlichut on behalf of the other partner who didn't go, and the other partner didn't go, lost. He should have gone along. Now, that's Rav Huna's statement. Iko Rav Nachman the Surah. So Rav Nachman came to Surah. Shailua, they asked him, Kihai Gav Namai, what do you think about a case like that? Amar lo manitini, that's our Mishnah. Harishonish Balashniya, Shailashish, Shilavid. What does it say? A takes an oath to B, B takes an oath to C, C takes an oath to D. Vila Vishono Shlishi Lotani, but it doesn't say A has taken an oath to C. And why can't he turn around and say, you know what, you took an oath to B, but I don't think that you're being honest, and I think you've already collected more than your ketubah. Why doesn't that happen? It must be that B's accepting the oath is accepting on behalf of everyone. Alright, my time, Allah mishun ishtichut avda. So we say, answer me, Dami, you can't compare the two cases. Hatam shvua l'echad shvua l'me'ah. Think about it. If A takes an oath to B, the content of that oath is the same as if she took it to B and C and D and E and F and all the heirs and all together is still one and the same oath, which is, I did not collect anything in my ketubah while the husband was alive. Hachamar, but in our case, ilo anahavai taninatvei. The other partner will say, if I had been in the court when we had my partner and you faced off, I would have brought proofs that I had evidence that he didn't think of that would have helped me with the case. All right, so it very much is different in the case of the partners. But of course, this only applies. This distinction will only apply if the partner who didn't make it was in a different town at the time. But if he was in town, he should have gone to the court case. In other words, if two partners in Los Angeles and the guy who's their litigant, the guy litigating against them is in New York, and one of the partners happens to go to New York, so they go into a local court in New York and have a case, the guy who's still in L.A. could say, you know what, if I were there, I would have brought different proofs, and therefore he does have a claim at least for the half. But if everything happened in Los Angeles, then he should have come along to the court, and the fact they didn't, he lost, and his partner acted on his behalf and didn't do a very good job. Now, Itmar, let's follow this. Shtei shtarot hayotzim biyom echad. Let's say you have two shtarot that come out with the same day, and these are shtarot not of chov, but rather shtarot of mecher. two deeds of sale on the same field from the same seller to two different owners dated the same day. What do you do with it? Rav Amar Chokin. Rav says you split it, which means each guy will get half a refund and will keep half the field. Shmuel Amar Shuda de Dayani. We go back to Shuda. Shmuel says that the judges estimate which was the more likely recipient, and that's the one who gets it. Now, Lema Rav Damar Karmeir, Damar Edich Timakarti.
And one brief little note here that I have on the top of the page is that there is this essential machloket that we have in the courses through Masechet Gittin to Meir or Belazar about which edim generate the validity of the get. Is it as per Reb Meir, edei chatima, the witnesses who sign, and the edei mesira are there just to effectuate the giving over of the get to the woman, or as per Reb Elazar, edei mesira, that the edim who see it handed over to the woman are what create the gerushin, and the edei chatimar them at tikkun olam just to back up the get. And so the notion here would be that Rav holds like Reb Meir that edei chatima karti, and therefore the fact that he had it signed with the same date indicated he wanted it to be split, this gift to be split between the two recipients, and that Shmuel holds like Reb Elazar. And he clearly gave one shtar to one fellow first, and therefore Beit Din has to decide which one did he likely give it to. So we say, look, the chuli alma k'rabbi Elazar. Everybody holds with like Rabbi Elazar that edei mesira karti. V'achav ha'hakim palgi. And the machloket Rav and Shmuel is about something else. Rav savar cholukwa adifa, Shmuel savar shuda d'dayani adifa. That Rav holds simply the best way to solve a problem like this is because we don't know who he intended to give it to, is to split it. And Shmuel said, no, it's better to give it to one person who we likely think is likely the intended recipient. Question is, since when could we argue that Rav holds like Rav Elazar? Rav Yehuda, who was the close student of Rav and the prize student of Shmuel afterwards, first quoted Rav as saying, Alachak Rav Elazar b'gitin. That we rule like Rav Elazar in Gitin, and the implication is only in Gitin. And that implication is quite clear here because Kamrita coming to Shmuel, Rav Yehuda reports that when he came to Shmuel and repeated the Salacha in the name of Rav, Amar apishtarot. Shmuel said, no, I disagree. Rav Elazar's ruling is also in shtarot, which means that Rav does not accept Rav Elazar in shtarot. B'chal de Rav savar b'shtarot lo. So we have to go back to our earlier assessment with that Rav holds like Rav Meir and Shmuel holds like Rabbi Elazar. So Meitave, here's a challenge. Exactly like Rav. So Amalach Shmuel. Shmuel can answer very simply. Hamani Rav Meir. That Breita is authored by Rav Meir, who says Chokin because Edei Chatima. And Rana Damrik Rav Elazar, my halacha follows Rav Elazar because I hold that halacha Rav Elazar af bishar shtar shtarot. Now, question is, can that breita be authored by Rameir? Irameir ima seifa. Look at the seifa. Katav le'echad umasar le'acher. If you wrote it to one person and handed the shtar to another, zeh shemasar lo kana. The one that you handed it to is the one who gets the field or the property. V'irameir amai kana. But if it's Rameir amai kana, after all, it should be the name on the shtar. And Amar edi chatima karti, and after all, edi misira should not be an issue. The answer is Tanai. It's a machloket Tanaim. The Tanya chachamim rim yachloku v'chan amru mashir tse hashlish ya'aseh. In this particular case, we say whatever the agent feels is appropriate to do is what he follows. And this is about a case that we have towards the end of the first parak of Gitin, where someone who was dying sent a shtar with a shaliach, and he came to the fellow, and the fellow himself, the recipient, had died. The question is, which yorshim should he give it back to? And we see that chachamim say yachloku, and here the ruling is that the shaliach should decide what to do. That's basically a shuda case. Okay, so we see that this entire thing of Rav and Shmuel really is a machloket tanaim there in Gitin. Okay, now we have a story. Imei de Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama's mother, Katvatinu l'nichsa l'Rami Bar Chama b'tzafra. In the morning, she wrote all her property over to that son. In the morning, al'orta katvatinu l'Rami Uk Bar Chama. That evening, she wrote a star the same day to another son. Atar Rami Bar Chama l'kama to Rav Sheshet. So Rami Bar Chama came to Rav Sheshet and said, I'm claiming the property because my star was earlier. Okme v'nichsa. Rav Sheshet said, you're right. Atamar Ukva lachamid Rav Nachman. Ukva, on the other hand, the brother who got the second shtar, came to Rav Nachman, Ukva Mechnichse. And Rav Nachman, who is the Dayan, the great Dayan of Bavel, said that you're right, and you get to keep it. Atar Rav Sheshet lachamid Rav Nachman. So now Rav Sheshet, who had ruled in favor of the earlier son, came to Rav Nachman, came before him. Amar le maitam avad marhachi. Why did you rule that way? Amar le maitam avad marhachi. So why did you rule in favor of the younger son? Amar le de kadim. My reason is because Rami got it earlier. Amar le atu b'Yerushalayim yatvina de kadina shaot. We're not in Yerushalayim here in Bavel. We don't write shaot, which means by definition, two shtarot that have the same day on them are effectively simultaneous. Alamar maitam avad hachi. So then Rav Sheshet turned to Rav Nachman and said, why did you give it to the second one? Amar le shud dayani. I made the assessment that likely the mother intended to give it to the second son. Amar le ananam shud dayani. So Rav Sheshet said, I made the same determination. I think she meant to give it to Rami. Amar le, he said, chada da'ana dayana mar lav dayana. Rav Sheshet Nachman said, I'm a dayan, you're not a dayan. Shud dayani doesn't just mean anybody can make a decision like that. It means the dayan can. Or in the case of Kitin, the shaliach can. Plus, your first argument was not Shuda. Your first argument was Kadim, and we knocked that out. So you can't shift gears and now adopt my argument. Okay. Hanu tre shtari da'atu l'kamen Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef had two shtarot come before him. Chareve katu b'chamsha b'nisan. One of them said that the fellow got the field on the 5th of Nisan. Chareve katu b'nisan stama. The other one said in Nisan. Both same year. Rav Yosef awarded it to the fellow who had the more exact date, the 5th of Nisan. Amar le idach v'ana afsi. The other fellow said, should I lose? Amar le at yadach l'tachtona. You have the burden of proof. Eima bar chavtet b'nisanat. Because perhaps you were later in Nisan. And by the way, there happened to be a lot more days in Nisan after the 5th than before. But regardless, since it doesn't say, it could have been the last day. Amar le, okay, so he's at least v'nichtov limar. Tirfa mi'iyar va'ilach. At least I should have a tirfa that if somebody comes with a claim later than that in the month of Iyar, at least I'm before him. So if that's the case, the original owner could say you should have gotten that first field because it was really the first of Nisan, which means you have no claim on me because you because the other fellow was sitting on the field. So Maitakante, how does this guy get out of it? What's his solution? Nichtavu harsha al-hadadi. They should write a harsha, which means the rights of collection for each other. I mean, the 5th Nisan guy and the Stam Nisan guy. If the 5th Nisan guy wants to be helpful, he could write a harsha so that they can each collect on behalf of the other one, and that way, at least the fellow will be covered against a later seizure. Okay, I'll pause at this point. I'll pick it up with the next Mishnah, the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.